So some of you know this already, but I don't smell very well and I don't hear very well as far as tone. So if the audio needs to be adjusted, you know, I'm kind of a binary digital type focused guy. So if that needs to be adjusted, just let Sam know and he can get that fixed because I probably won't care. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dearly Father, thank you so much for this time we can come together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for miraculously coming to this world to save us. Lord, we'd have nothing without you. We're completely reliant on you. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message about evangelism, that you would grow all of us. Pray that this would not be my words, but they'd be your words, and you would simply use me to articulate your vision and your ideas, Lord. I just pray that you would bless this time and help us now to be able to learn to be and cause us to be more effective ambassadors for your kingdom. I just pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I wanted to go over was last week. So last week we had a great sermon going through the Gospel of John, and I was so happy because it actually dealt with the most difficult part of this message today, which is the complexity of works and grace and how they work together. And I was so excited because, you know, that is a really easy message to screw up, and if I have to talk about it, I'll get in trouble. So I was really happy that we went over some of that. And so the first verse that we have is what we went over last week, which is 1 John 14, 15. Somebody have that? On one of the bulletins?
I have it if no one else does.
Okay.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
You love me, keep my commandments. And then we went on for an entire hour, and we talked about a bunch of things. We had great, all these complexities, and if you didn't hear it, you should totally go on the website and go and review that, because it is a complicated topic, and I'm not going to cover it today. But we're understanding we are in a grace framework, but let's take just sort of that commands idea and think, okay, that's fantastic. What are those commands? So this is kind of the sequel or maybe like a subcomponent of the big idea that we were talking about last week. Does that make sense? We're doing a subcommittee. So what are God's commands? So do you have another passage where Jesus conveniently summarizes those commands? It's Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Somebody have that.
Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
There you go, folks. Super convenient. Summarized. There's actually, I looked at, there's several thousand commands in the Bible. There's a lot of specifics. But really, I like that verse, and I've worked to commit that verse to memory because it does summarize so much of what we are trying to do as we are serving our King Jesus. And a big part of our walk with Jesus is loving our neighbors. And really, what could be more loving than sharing the gift we've received as Christians to our neighbors? That's really a fantastic, loving thing that we can do. And there's actually another famous command where Jesus goes through, and sort of you could take that logical extension and expand it out. So the next one we have is Matthew 28:19, which is another command.
Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
There we go. Fantastic. And can you read is there another one? The next verse down?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I marked it. But
teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
I love that command. I love that it's sort of a fractal word, like repeats. You know, if they teach us to obey all the commands that we're given, we're going to be taught to obey that command, and then we'll teach other people to obey that command, and the kingdom expands out, which is fantastic. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it's been going all over the world. It's very exciting. So that's the Great Commission, is we're going to go out and make disciples of all nations and teaching them about Jesus. So next question is, how do we do this? And somebody have Romans 10, 14 through 15.
I do as well.
Yes!
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
Fantastic. So, one of the big ideas to go away with today is that the gospel is transmitted by people, and normally with words. Like that's the main method that we've used throughout human history. There are exceptions. I mean, there's people that have come to know Jesus with, those various stories. But in general, I really like the Romans model where it's like people go out and they preach. Preaching involves words. This is important because sometimes in our current culture, we rely too much. I was at a service in Atlanta, and I was like, all you got to do is just bring people to church. Everything will be fine. I'm like, I guess. But how cool is it to realize that we can go out and we can preach and we can articulate the gospel and it can have a huge effect? So, to sort of build off of that idea, can somebody read 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17?
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Fantastic. What's so important about this passage, we have this idea of, okay, we're going to go out and we're preaching the gospel, but really, it's based off of scripture. One of the things that I really like about that verse is it says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Christianity is based on a book. It's kind of an open book test, but there it's documentation is key. There's a lot of people that go out, and when they're talking about evangelism, I kind of think of like C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity. It has very little scripture in Mere Christianity. He has a lot of logical ideas, and there's different people that approach it that way, but I would argue very strongly that using scripture is key when we are doing evangelism. When we are attempting to execute on the Great Commission, which, is when we're executing on those commands that we want to do because it's part of who we are, which was a big lesson from last week. You know, it's about BBB, not do. But when we're executing on that, using the Holy Scriptures is essential. And there's a couple reasons for that. One, when you use Scripture, it helps you avoid error and introducing false doctrines, which is extremely easy to do because we are fallen creatures and our fallenness will often come into things. And two, the Holy Scriptures have real power. Can somebody read Ephesians 6:17, which is coming out of the full armor of God passage?
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, yeah, I want to tell you a personal story. I remember I was debating these homosexuals at the University of Idaho. And I was like, oh, I'm a strong intellectual guy, I like debates. I will go up to these guys and I will be able to explain rationally why their position is wrong politically. And I got schooled really fast. Every study I had, they had like three other studies, which, I mean, were probably crazy, but like, what am I going to do at the moment? There's just like, well, our studies are as good as your studies and we have more factoids memorized than you. And every time, every angle, they had stuff to go. And so I'm like, so why aren't you embracing our position since we're clearly just crushing your head right now? Sorry, that's probably too much. But I pivoted back and I was like, well, fundamentally, and I went back to scripture. And as soon as I started using scripture in the conversation, everything changed. And their hearts opened up. And it turned out, one of the guys was from a Christian home. He walked away from the faith. And it was a completely different dynamic. And it really taught me, I was like, there's a reason why it's so important we use scripture. It really does have an effect. And it's the word of God. It's difficult to argue, but there's really something there. So I would highly encourage you, as we're going to go through this presentation here, when you're thinking about evangelism, using scripture is your friend. So the big conclusion of today is we're going to hopefully inspire everyone to be working on memorizing Scripture. That's going to be like the big application. But realize Scripture is powerful and is essential for being able to get into people's hearts. So with those sort of overarching ideas, we want to be preaching the gospel to people, and we want to use Scripture to do it. We still have to go out and actually teach people the gospel. So how do we share the gospel? It's actually a very challenging question. A lot of people are like, you're sitting on an airplane or something. I was like, oh, you're a Christian. That's awesome. I've always wanted to talk to a Christian. What is Christianity? And it's shocking how many of us, I think, forget the statistic. I really can't remember. I should have looked it up before the presentation today. But a huge number of people that are, quote, Christians in America today cannot define Christianity. Folks, that's probably some of us in this room. We're just put, essay test right on this sheet of paper. What is Christianity? There's a high statistical likelihood some of us would struggle. And all of us have been there. And it's really not good. We should all be able to articulate what Christianity is. We should be able to answer that question at any time. So I'm going to start by going over our first technique of explaining Christianity, the gospel, the good news, and we'll continue. But here's, if you're stuck, if you're like, I don't know what the answer is to put in the box. Like, where in the Bible does he say like the answer? So I would recommend we start with 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8. Does somebody have that?
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time.
Awesome. So there you go. That's the gospel. Paul just says it. It comes out, it's like, this is the gospel. Boom, boom. Come out. Bottom line, Jesus died for our sins. One sentence, encapsulation. We have this whole passage where he goes through. This is a great passage to memorize. If you got to whip out an answer real fast and you get a one sentence answer, 1 Corinthians 15:3 is a great go-to scriptural, this is it. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There's that scripture idea again. Now, when we went over this passage actually early on in the history of Berean Christian Fellowship here, it was just a few weeks before we started recording, and Pastor Cole did an awesome expose for about 45 minutes going through and talking about the gospel out of this passage. Excuse me. But here's the thing. If you quote this passage, just Jesus died for our sins, and you walk away, is there a possibility that someone with their fallen mind may come away with some misconceptions? Is this possible? Can we think of any possible misconceptions that could come up?
We're
all saved. But is that what he says? No, it's not. He says that Christ died for our sins. Oh, it's like a trick, but that's complicated. That's hard. If you actually really study what he says, he doesn't say anything wrong, but there's an easy opportunity where if we are intellectually lazy and we just kind of halfway, yeah, here's the verse, you're good. People could come away with not a full understanding of the gospel story. So if you are talking to somebody, what would be a way that you could correct that? Like, you know, yeah, okay, 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins, and we want to tell them, well, yeah, but you got to be, you know, there's more to it, you got to be saved and all these other things. The way we normally do that in Christianity is we use more scripture, which he talks about in there. He says, according to the Holy, to the scriptures. So this technique we often refer to as fence post theology. So I'm, you know, trying to use the blackboard. We'll see how well I do. But the concept of fence post theology is you have multiple verses, and if you just have, you know, one verse, you can't really have a fence, and the sheep can kind of wander wherever they want to go, and that you can end up all over the map. But if you have multiple verses, you can start to see the connections, and you can start to understand, okay, this is the safe intellectual area that is the correct answer. So Jesus didn't give us just one verse. I mean, we have an entire Bible. It's actually a thick book. There's a lot of content here. And the sermon that went over that particular passage was, you know, was like an hour long. So there's a lot to be able to say there. And it's important that we are able to articulate and use the Word of God accurately so we can really help people become disciples of Jesus. So in order to do that, we need to know a lot of Scripture. So this sort of brings up the next point, which is traditionally, most people on planet Earth, I could say all, but I'm an engineer, I feel like I'll get in trouble if I say all. I'm sure there's some exception. But in general, we have to prepare to be able to accurately use fence post theology, to be able to accurately, when we meet someone and we want to explain Christianity, we want to give them the most important gift that provides eternal salvation, we want to be able to transmit that information. Now, I pass on to you. We got to prepare. So somebody have 1 Peter 3:15.
Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it.
Fantastic. And does somebody have 2 Timothy 4:2?
Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching.
There we go. Both of those translations emphasize be ready. But to be ready, that's really where the word of the day, prepare. But be ready, get ready, be on guard, be capable of. In order to do that, it really actually takes preparation ahead of time. Bottom line. I never was able to successfully share the gospel until I put serious time into memorizing scripture, memorizing a singular outline, and when I did that, it really helped me be able to understand better myself what I believed. So I had to, you know, really work through it. And pretty shortly after doing this, this was an earlier church, Living Word. We went through a program called Evangelism Explosion. And that was the first time I'd ever been formally trained on how to you share the gospel. I actually have the outline from Evangelism Explosion in my stack of stuff here. But we're not going to go over it right now. But what was cool about that experience was a few weeks later, I was on a camping trip with some Blair Patrol, with some other high schoolers, and there was this guy, Nick Newby, and he started asking me, like, what do you believe? And so we're in this tent. There were like three of us. The other guy just wanted to go to sleep. But Nick just was like, hey, tell me, what is this Christianity thing? And I kind of, like, you ever, like, memorize something at school and you're, like, do, like, just enough to get, like, a D or a C or whatever, right? But I kind of had something memorized. And I was able to actually give Nick an explanation. And I felt super uncomfortable. I was, like, super, like, oh, man, what am I actually doing here? And hopefully this comes off smooth. But Nick was really nice. He was like, no, I really want to know. And I had enough scripture. I was able to clearly articulate, hopefully clear enough, let's ditch the clear part and just say, articulate the gospel. And Nick became a Christian, and Nick came to church for a bit. I eventually lost contact, but I'm so glad I got that opportunity to share to Nick the gospel, because later he got blown up and died in Iraq. And, you know, that's tragic, but I really think Nick's in heaven right now. And it's really cool, I know, because it was in the newspaper. It's really important that we take these opportunities and we share the gospel with people, because we don't know when they're going to die. And it's very important that, well, Jesus commands us to do it. And, you know, as remember, like, this is where these, you know, it builds out. We want to, it's part of who we are. It's part of being a Christian. It's that being, you know, as we're loving people, and it's a great way to love on folks. But if I hadn't put the time into preparing, I don't think I could have had that conversation with Nick. So it's critical that we prepare. Now, this brings us to the part of the presentation where we'll start talking about how there are different ways to share the gospel. So I just mentioned the program Evangelism Explosion. So they all, at this point, okay, back up. We're going to go through American Christianity for a second. So in American Christianity, there's all these programs of how you share the gospel. The one I just talked about was called Evangelism Explosion. I think they're based out of Florida. And yes, they asked that you pay money for their book. We did, and I think it was a good investment. But you can also do other ones. You can do the Navigator Bridge. You can do the Roman Road. You can do two ways. You can do. There's a variety of different techniques one can use to articulate the gospel. And basically, because we're in America, people make logos for things, and they stick them on their training materials, and then like, this is our program for sharing the gospel. And logos are nice. They help us, you know, memorize things and learn things. But really, these techniques, and if you stick around churchianity and the Christian ecosystem enough, you're going to be exposed to these various systems. And everybody's, a lot of churches will be like, oh, this is our preferred system. This is the way. You know, we're doing evangelism. This is it. We are memorizing this exact outline. You go over verse A, verse B, verse D, dot, 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 and you have shared the gospel, and, you know, we conclude with a sinner's prayer. And that's fine, but there's multiple types of outlines you could use. And each outline, no matter which technique you choose to invest time in memorizing and equipping yourself with, it will be stronger in some areas and weaker in other areas. Some emphasize grace more. Some emphasize obedience more. You're not going to be able to transmit, and I would argue, you're not going to be able to transmit an entire lifetime of Christian finesse and articulate every complex idea in the Bible within 10 minutes. It's a very tall order to pull off. That is not your job as a frontline evangelist, though. Your job is to articulate the basic tenets of Christianity and get them to change their life, repent, and turn to King Jesus. And then you want to provide follow-up and get them involved in a Christian community where they can get additional training so they don't end up in extreme legalism. Or with the Corinthians were, where there's a fancy word for this, if I'd gone to school, I would know it, but they're, you know, where people are just being hedonistic and taking grace for granted and just living very simple lives. What? Antinomian, thank you. Yeah, so it's tip of my tongue, you know? So what I wanted to do now is go over some of these different techniques. I actually printed out some handouts for the Roman Road, which is not the one we're going to go over, but I do have these if you want to look at these. I was able to use the Roman Road pretty effectively in school, in engineering school. There was a guy, he didn't come to know Christ that day when I went through with him, but he did like that night when he went to Bible study with some other people. But God, I felt like, really used that conversation when we went through the Roman Road. That's a great technique. Let's see here. The Navigators have the Navigator Bridge. I really like this one. It's pretty emphasis on grace, which is great. And it kind of depends. If you're in an area where people are kind of legalistic, this might be the better approach to use. The one I currently like the most, though, is actually out of Australia, and it's the one I'm going to demo for you in a second, which is Two Ways to Live. A little bit different emphasis, more on the kingship thing. But either way, the key thing is, as you're learning to be an evangelist, you need to remember it's a spiritual environment. Prayer is essential, which I haven't really talked about very much, but prayer is essential. And the entire Christian experience is going to come to be important when you're sharing the gospel, when you're pushing the kingdom of Christ forward. The purpose of today, though, is to emphasize the need for taking time to prepare yourself to be ready when you're interacting with other people so you have something to say, so you can clearly articulate why you have that that block of time with the person on the bus or your friend at the coffee table, wherever it is, and you're able to articulate and answer the question, what is Christianity? And I would argue, if you do not take a period of time to prepare for that, you will not be able to answer that question. So the one I currently like to use to answer the question, if somebody comes up and says, Zach, what is Christianity? And a lot of times when I'm attempting to share the gospel, you can kind of steer a question along, be like, oh, what happens to you when you die? But eventually, like, okay, well, what do you believe? I'm so glad you guys asked. Thank you so much. So here's what Christians believe. We believe that God is the loving ruler of the world. Created the world, created us to rule over the world under him. It actually says in Revelations 4:11, for you, O Lord, are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they have their being. That's not how it is now. See, the problem is we have rejected the king, and we're trying to live life our own way without him. As a result, we fail. We fail to rule ourselves, our societies, or our world. I mean, just look around. There's tons of destruction everywhere, and it's because we're rejecting God. And we all do this on a personal level. It says in Romans 3:10-12, for there is no one good. There is no one who seeks after God. Together they've become corrupt. All have turned away. There is no one righteous. No, not even one. Now, God won't let us just keep rebelling forever. The penalty, or it says in Hebrews 9:27, for just as man is destined to die once, and after that, face judgment. And Jesus actually talked about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. And unfortunately, when we die, we are on a trajectory for that punishment, or that judgment. But because of God's love, he sent his son into the world, the man Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus always lived under God's rule. He always lived under God's rule. And by living that perfect life, when he died, he took our punishment that we deserved and brought forgiveness. It says in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. But that's not all. God raised Jesus from the dead and made him the ruler of the world. Jesus has conquered death, and he now brings new life, and he will return to judge the end of the world. It says in 1 Peter 1:3, praise be our God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who through his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. That's an amazing gift. Now, where does this really leave us? Well, it really leaves us with two ways to live. Way A, we can be living under King Jesus, which provides us with a new relationship with God here in this life and the prospect of eternal life with Christ Jesus to come. And the way we get that is if we trust in his death and resurrection alone for our salvation. Or we can continue kind of in our default, which is rebellion and doing things our own way without God. And here's my illustration for that. And it says in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So the question is really, which way do you want to live? Which way do you guys want to live? Audience participation. Hopefully under King Jesus. So at this point in the conversation, that's really where I would ask the people, be like, okay, well, which way do you want to live? And it kind of pushes it back on, which is where I like this technique a little bit. And hopefully, if they have any hang-ups, we can sort of address them at that time. But a lot of times, people, if God's working on their heart, they're going to be ready. They're going to be like, I want to live under King Jesus. I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Well, let's let's pray and go through that. Now, there's another verse I memorized I really like, and I actually memorized this back with Evangelism Explosion, which is Romans 10:9, where he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And there's some other verses similar, but I really like Romans 10:9. And I can go through that, and then I can go into a sinner's prayer with the person. And sinner's prayer would be something along like, okay, well, if that's how you feel, let's pray. So just sort of repeat after me, and then I'll go through sentence by sentence, but I'll string it together here. So, dear Heavenly Father, just admit that you are the King of the universe, and I have sinned, I have rejected you, and that is not good. Lord, please forgive me. I want to accept what you did on the cross, your gift of eternal life, and I want to make you king of my life. Just pray, King Jesus, that you would be king of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And do something like that. And the way, basically, when you're doing a sinner's prayer, easy way to go through this technique, you could memorize something else, but I'm just kind of walking through each one of these boxes, and there's two ways to live paradigm. That's how I do it right now. It's very easy for me to memorize these six boxes and use that as a method to be able to string together various scriptures that I have memorized to be able to articulate a point, sort of using a fence post theology, because I've used several different verses to articulate the key point. Is this the only way to share the gospel?
No.
There's lots of different sets of verses you could use, which is kind of why I brought up several different ones. Let me check my notes, see where I'm at. So the key thing, though, to realize is they all involve Scripture. No matter which technique you're like, oh, I really kind of want to finesse it this way. And the presentation you just saw, I ad-libbed. There was you know, some basics of their outline that they had from the Australian guys, but there's some parts where, you know, it wasn't exact word for word, which is good. You want to be able to engage with whoever you're talking with and really answer their questions. But it's a whole lot easier if you are prepared and you are ready to articulate something and have Scripture to back it up, then if they just ask you, hey, what's Christianity? Like, that's a good question. And that's really easy to do. Really easy to just be in that deer in headlight. I think all of us have sort of faced that with various things. So the important thing to realize is no matter which technique you or your family uses, if you have kids, you know, there's a good chance, you know, your kids are going to ask them, what, Mom or Dad, what is Christianity? I'm like, I don't know, what are you going to say? Are you going to be ready to be able to answer that question to your children or your sibling? It can be a real gut check when you suddenly go, not saying this has happened to me before, but. So it's very important. So ultimately, to be ready, to be able to really just articulate when the moment, when the person, their heart is soft, and it is a great opportunity to be able to really articulate Christianity to them, that is not... probably not a good time to pull up a YouTube video that goes over Christianity. You probably won't have but you probably realistically might not have access to all those tools. But the thing you will have access to, that people have always had access to, is their minds. And this is why memory has been key for thousands of years. And we're very reliant on all our stuff or our technology. This is technology. You know, I got a book, right? That's cool. But not, you don't always have access to books. Sometimes you're in a prison camp and they compensate your stuff. But if you're breathing, you probably still have access to your brain. And so investing in memorizing Scripture is key, absolutely key to be able to be an effective evangelist and be able to be, I would argue, really to fulfill that Great Commission command. It's really important that we get in the habit of memorizing Scripture. Now, does somebody have Psalm 119:11?
I do. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
There we go. And does somebody have Joshua 1:8?
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
There we go. So those are some great verses that the navigators taught me when they were like, hey, memorize this list of verses. And I was like, well, why should I memorize things? It's like, these verses have some pretty good ideas about hiding it on your heart and meditating on it day and night. Pretty hard to meditate on day and night if you don't have it memorized. And actually, meditation is kind of one of the key things. Now, an interesting thing happened to me when I was in the Navigators in the Army. They had a huge emphasis on memorizing Scripture, which actually I really didn't have before. So I was an adult when I really started to get into scripture memory. Hannah's been into memorizing scripture since she was a kid, but not me. And I learned some things. I learned a lot. First thing, I learned that I was really bad at memorizing. And I really tried. I really worked. It actually took me about 3 years, which was funny because the chaplain, when I first heard about all this, he was like, it took me 3 years to memorize all the verses. I was like, what? That's crazy. And it took me like 3 years too. So, but I think a big part of that was I had no idea how to memorize. It just wasn't something I was good at. And in the American education system, we don't really emphasize memory like previous cultures. So it's actually pretty hard. So I learned a lot. And actually, that investment in learning to memorize really helped my professional career. Because then I could memorize all kinds of things. And I started to do way better academically. I went back and got an engineering degree. And God really blessed me through it. But it started with an emphasis on memorizing scripture. So I'd highly encourage you, especially you kids, memorizing scripture is so key. It's key for all of us to be doing so we can articulate the gospel. But just being good at memory is a really important step. So if you want to learn some practical techniques on how to do memory, after the service, I'll be available. I'll show you guys some of the techniques that I use to do scripture memory. One of the problems with memory is it takes about 11 years to get something into long-term memory. So, you know, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I have that one in long-term memory, but that's because it was part of the evangelism explosion curriculum. That's one of the earlier verses so I still haven't memorized. But it takes about 11 years before you get something that it's not going to go away. So it's really important that all of us take memorizing scripture seriously. And a great way to start is just pick a good gospel outline and memorize those verses and then practice articulating so you'll be ready, prepared for the moment of decision. And with that, I think we are about out of time, so let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time today, Lord. I pray that you would just help all of us to invest in memorizing Scripture and that we would really be able to articulate the gospel clearly when we are given opportunity. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities to share the gospel and that we'd be inviting people back to share life with us and to continue to learn more because there's so much about your word that can't be transmitted in just a 4-minute conversation. So Lord, I just pray that you would bless us as we work to spread your kingdom and you just bless us for love for one another and for our community. Lord, thank you for this message today. Just pray in your son's name. Amen. All right. So now we're going to do some music. Should we get ready for everyone a second?